So in our last shiur, which was this past Thursday for Chulin, we learned a sugi about Kaved, which is here on Daf Kuf Yud, and the whole story about cooking a liver with all its blood in it. So, were you here for that? Just curious? Yeah. No, Jeff, you weren't there, right? Okay, so if you get a chance, you know, you could hear the recording of the shiur, because it was a very nice sugya. I got a lot of good feedback about that shiur, because what happened in that shiur is that we took a sugya as a self-contained single unit, and we were able to finish it in one shiur. That's not the case for the sugya I want to do today, which is on Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Beis. And we may have touched on this sugya in the past, but I don't think that we ever, you know, got into the kishkes of the sugya. That's what I want to do today, and hopefully we'll be able to continue with this sugya on Thursday as well. What I'd also like to point out to you for the future, we're not going to be doing that today, but there's a very fascinating but complex sugya on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph called the sugya of Keva. Okay, that has to do with cheese making. Okay. So I think we have a chair here. How much they pay per hour, by the way, for babysitting? Just kidding. Alright. So if you take a look on the first of the wide lines, Itmar. Okay?
What the?
We're on Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Beis. And here, Rabbi, if you didn't get this photocopy, you'll take mine, because I have the original. Oh, you did. Is there anyone who didn't get the photocopy? Because I have the original. So, all right. Itma. Now, this sugya, which records a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, is going to enhance our understanding of perhaps the most fundamental question of Iser v'Heter and Tarovos, namely the concept of Blia. We've spoken about it many times, that when meat and milk, for example, or for that matter, Iser and Heter, are cooked together in a pot, there's going to be a plate and a Blia, in which case the Heter receives the Tam of Isur and becomes Asur under the Halacha of Tam Ki Ikar. The question is, how close of a relationship does there have to be between the Isur and the Heter in order for the Isur to transfer its Tam into the Heter? In a case where the Isur and Heter were cooked in the same pot, obviously it's direct. It goes straight from the Iser into the Heter. However, there are situations in which it's indirect, meaning there's a conduit in the middle that carries the Bli of Iser over to the Heter. So it's not a direct one-stage process, it becomes a two-stage process. Let me give you one example, which is not the Gemara that we're going to study, but it's going to be extremely relevant to that Gemara, and that's what's called Bliya B'Kalim. So for example, if I take Nevela and I cook it in a pot, I mean, the pot itself, no one's eating the pot, right? But the pot now becomes a conduit, because if I cook Heter in the pot, then the Kli was Bolea the Tam in the first cooking from the Iser, and now, in the second cooking, it's Polate that very Tam into the Heter, and now the Heter absorbs the Tam through the pot, correct? Now, in that case, instead of calling it Tam Ki Ikar, we'll use a slightly different term, we'll call it Tam Sheni, which is, it's like a secondary Tam, right? Because the Isur and the Heter were not cooked simultaneously in the same pot. Now, the source for the Isur of Tam Sheni, in the case of Kalim, is a parsha in the Torah. Does anybody remember which parsha in the Torah I'm talking about? It's called Clay Midjan. Okay, it's in Sefer Bamidbar, because after the battle against Midjan, you remember that Moshe was commanded to go out and then battle against the Midjanites. That's following the parsha, the whole episode of Korah, of Bilam in Parshas Balak. So Hashem commands Moshe that if they take Caleb as booty from the decimated Midianites, then those Kalim have to be subject to what we call Hechsher Kalim. Right? And that splits into two. There's what's called Hagola, Kol Asher Yovah B'mayim, Yovah B'mayim, and then there's something called Libun Asher Yovah B'esh, Taviru B'esh. And the underlying concept that's being conveyed or taught to us in the parasha of Klei Midjan is this concept called Tam Sheni. Okay, having said that, we're up to Rav and Shmuel. Itmar. Dogim She'olu Bekara. What's going on here is that the Dogim are going to serve as the conduit to bring Tam Basar into Cholah. What I mean to say is the following. Obviously, dogim are what? Are they milchiks or fleshes? No, they're parvah. So when I cook dogim in a fleshiger pot, let's say 5 minutes ago I just cooked meat in the pot, I clean out the pot, so there's no ban left of meat, and instead of cooking milk in the pot, which would be the classical case of tam sheni, what happens here is I cook fish in the pot. And then I take this fish, right? Rav Omar Osur Li Ochlan Bekutach. I cannot combine this fish with milk. I mean, kutach is, we've mentioned it many times in the past, is some sort of a yogurt concoction, and it's milchiks, which means that once the dogim have absorbed the tam of basar, now the dogim, for all intents and purposes, become basar, and you can't eat basar with challah. Because when you combine basar and challah together, you end up with basar and challah. The same issue would be in the following scenario. Let's say I cook, 5 minutes ago, I cooked nevela in the pot, and now I cook heter in the pot. Now I take that heter, and again I cook it with other heter, and now the middle heter, we can call dogim or whatever you like to call it, becomes the go-between to bring the tam from the nevela through the kdera into this heter. And again, we have this case in which there's a middle guy, I call him, who is going to serve as the carrier of the tam. And Rav says, therefore, it's asur. Ushmuel Amar, mutar li ochlan bekutach. Shmuel says that you're allowed to eat this fish with milk. Again, we're not talking about, you know, eating the fish in a plate and then taking the fish out and using the plate. We're talking about literally concocting a mixture between fish, which was just cooked in a fleshiger pot, and milchiks mamish. So again, whereas Rav would argue that the fish become fleshiks, Shmuel would say no. The fish still retain their status as parva, and I can eat it with milchiks. So Gemara says, what's the argument about? Rav Amar Asur. Rav says, you're not allowed to eat this fish that was cooked in a meat pot with milchiks. Why? Because no same tamhu. In other words, the fish now received, it was bolea, the tam of basar. And now the fish is going to give that tam of the basar into the cholav. Shmuel Amar Mutter. Shmuel says, take this fish and go ahead, enjoy yourself gezunta hayt, and eat it with milk. Why? Because no same tam bar no same tam hu. This is the famous sugi that you've all heard of and we've mentioned in the past, called not bar not. Which means that the tam of basar is going into the fish. And from the fish, it's going to go into the kutach. And it's a two-stage process. It's not what you call tam rishon. It's rather tam sheni. Nu Rabosai, what question do you feel we should raise against Shmuel?
Again, if you wanted to support Rav and argue against Shmuel, what would be your first question?
It's Tom Kiker.
Well, how do you know Tom Kiker applies to a Tom Sheni? You know, I'm going to defend Shmuel. Put up your dukes. Okay. So you're saying to me, well, Tom Kiker, and I'm telling you, but it's a Tom Sheni. So what are you going to add, answer to me and slug me up?
You say Tom Kiker, and that piece becomes...
Wait, you're too complicated for me. Wait a minute. No, I'm just asking if... I'm looking for a very simple question. Okay. You're giving me a very sophisticated answer. Again, I'm saying to you that according to Shmuel, the halacha of Tam Ki Iker only applies when there's direct cook. I got meat and milk cooking in the same pot. I got nevela and shchuta cooking in the same pot. Mela, that's Tam Ki Iker. But here's a case of Tam Sheni. So what should you say to Shmuel as a counter argument? Can you prove to Shmuel that he's wrong about Tam Sheni? I'm getting like blank stares here, and I'm beginning to feel a little bit insecure here. Can anyone disprove that premise, that thesis of Shmuel about Tom Sheni, and prove to me that Tom Kiker applies even in a Tom Sheni? When there's not milk and meat cooking in the same pot, there's no nevela and shchuta cooking in the same pot.
Well, I don't know. I just wanted to say
that. Clay Midjon? Did anybody hear anything about Clay Midjon? Again, what happened to Clay Midjon? The Goyim, the Midjonim, cooked Nevela, trained for whatever they cook, Shkotzim, Rasim, and their Kalim. Now we take these Kalim as booty at the end of the triumphant Milchama, right? And the Torah says you can't cook in those Kalim because what you think is Heter now becomes Isur. Isn't that Tom Sheni? Did you cook both nevela and heter in the same pot?
But it's Tom Sheni of Isser.
Oh, good. Excellent. You're a few steps ahead of me. I just want to isolate this concept of a Tom Sheni. I'm just trying to say that, you know, Rabbi Sachtowitz is already in college. I'm still in elementary school here. I'm saying the following. That If Shmuel is simply telling me that the halacha, the Torah, doesn't recognize Tam Sheni, meaning if the Tam is not going directly from A to B, from Issa to Heter, from milk to meat, then that's not Tam Ki Iker. So I point out that Shmuel has to be reinterpreted. You can't be so superficial about Shmuel, because we know that there is something that the Torah recognizes Tam Ki Iker, even though it's not direct. You don't have Issa v'Heter cooking together in the same pot. What you have is Issa cooking in the pot. That's stage one. The Tam of the Issa therefore goes into the Kli. That's called Blias Issa B'Kelim. And now if I cook Milchiks in the same pot, then I have a situation of Tam Ki Iker. That's what Hechsher Kalim is all about. Agol, Libud, etc. Meaning, when the Goyim cook Nevelus and Trefus in the pot, the Tam of the Nevela goes into the pot. If now I cook Basar Shchuta in the same pot, the Tam of the Nevela is going to go through the Kalim into the Shchuta. So what serves now as the conduit, the Dogim in Shmuel's Mashal?
The pot.
The pot itself.
That's not Tam Ki Iker, is it?
I think so. I think that's another example of Tam Ki Iker.
I thought Tam Ki Iker meant that when the Tam went into a piece of basar that was kosher, and Tam Trefa went into there, then that basar becomes treif, because the whole mahus, the whole Iker of the basar is treif.
Wait a second. Why is the Iker of the Basar treif? It's only because it's carrying the Tam.
Yeah, of course, but the whole Basar then becomes Aser.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by that. You may be entering into the question of Hanan.
Yeah, I am.
Well, we hold, like Rabbeinu Ephraim, that there's no Hanan in Shari Sur. All I'm trying to say to you, Rabosai, is something so simple. Okay. Rabbi Sachtowitz is already beyond me.
Simply teaches the Tam Sheni is Aser.
Correct, but I'm just pointing out to Alan that Tom Sheni is not some sort of new din. Tom Sheni is an extension or an application of the general din of Tom Kiker, meaning the Torah says there's no Iker over here. What the Iker here, when the Jews take these Kalim and they cook Shchuta in the Kalim, Basa Shchuta, that Basa Shchuta is Heter, Norfaz. The Basa Shchuta is now Bolea a tam of isur, a tam of whatever it might be, nevela, strafe, etc., etc. Why? Did I take nevela and cook it with the meat? How is the meat bolea tam, so that now you want to tell me that the meat is awesome because it has a bli of tam? The answer is through the intermediary of the kli, because the tam of the basar, of the basar nevela, goes into the kli, and from the kli it goes into the basar shchuta. So the basar shchuta is also because of the tam nivla b'toch ha-basar. You might say to me, well, maybe that's only derabbanan. Maybe it's a rabbinic invention. You know, Rabbanan afraid that if we allow you to cook shchuta in the same pot that the nevela is cooked in, who knows, tomorrow you're going to take the nevela and cook it in the same pot with shchuta. But it's a fairish of pasuk. In fact, I want you to know, Alan, we didn't study this yet, and it's another. We touched on it, but it's a gigantic sugya. From whence do we derive the tam is ki'ikar? So you may remember that we saw Abaye back on Daf Kuf Ches, and Abaye derives it from Basar B'Chalav. Because what is Basar B'Chalav? It's the cooking of milk and meat together. The meat receives the tam of the milk, and vice versa. That's tam ki ikar. And Abaye, and Rava says, no, Basar B'Chalav is a chidush, and we can't derive tam ki ikar from Basar B'Chalav. So the Gemara doesn't go on and ask the next question. So where does Rav derive Tam Kika from? And those are sugyas all over Shas, in Zvachim, in Nidah, in Shavuos, in many places in Shas, in Avodah Zarah, I should say, many places in Shas. The Gemara is going to ask the question, so from whence do we derive Tam Kika? Is it from Mishra Sanovim in Nazir? Is it from Clay Haminjan? Is it from Bishol Bishol Bishela? There are many different opportunities to learn Tam Kika Dorais. But one of them is Clay Minjan. So we see that Tam Kikar is extended to even to include a Tam Sheni, where the het and the isur are not being cooked directly, you know, the direct transfer of Tam in the same pot. That's all I wanted to say, Rabosai. You know, anything you hit me with now is just going to go way above my level, because I'm just trying to build this thing from scratch. Okay. So what I have here for you today, which I'm very excited about, is a sefer called Shechitas Chulin, which I just bought. I didn't even get a chance to write my name in it. And Shechitas Chulin is anonymously authored by someone whose goal was to guide us through Masecht Chulin, or at least parts of Masecht Chulin. The only problem I have with this sefer is that half of the sefer is on Tumah V'Tara, because Chulin, from the ninth parak and on, is all about Tumah V'Tara, or Varotev. So I really wanted to make a deal with the seller and give me half price if I only take the first half of the book, but he was not willing to strike up a deal with me. So it was what you call all or nothing. But be that as it may, when I opened the sefer, I was very excited to see that although he has absolutely nothing on the sugya of kaved, because I thought maybe I'd give another shiur on the sugya of kaved, I thought maybe I'd have to write another shiur, he completely skips that sugya. But if you just turn the page after the sugya of kaved, he has something on this sugya that we're learning now, and that's not barnat. So Rabosai, there are two ways we can tackle this. One way is if we read through the text line by line. You have a photocopy of it. Doc, you got a copy? No? Here, I have a copy for you. Okay. The other way, but I find that a little bit tedious. I'm going to offer an alternative method, and that is that, but you have to be on board with me on this, is that I am going to sort of summarize, but kisei there, what he's writing here in the Shechitas Chulin. And what you're going to do, this is the job I'm giving you, is to follow me inside. I'm not going to read the words except for certain, very important paragraphs. But my hope is, this is the experiment for today, is that I will try to kisei there, as I say. I'm not giving you one of these extemporaneous drushes that I can't do. You know, But what I could do is go through this piece together with you. I found this piece very, very fascinating. Again, it was past midnight, so I don't know how much went in. And today I gave a shiur in Chumash. If anyone's interested, I give myself a pat on the back. I found three different drushes of Rav Soloveitchik on the topic of the Mishkan and what's the purpose of the Beis Hamikdash and the Mishkan and the Mitzvah of Truma. So if anybody's interested, the doc was here, so he can testify what a great shiur it was. I have a gun against his head, so if he doesn't agree. So I have a feeling that we're gonna be able to learn this together and pull together a lot of the strands that we've encountered in the last, how long we learned Kulin? About 6 months already, you know, I'm exaggerating, but whatever it is, here in this sugya, it's a wonderful opportunity to begin to sew it all together. So he starts with the following. We're going to call this the Ramban. Okay, the Ramban is the head of a pack of primarily Chachmei Sfarad, because we're going to see that there's another pack, which is on the bottom left of page Kuf Yud Beis, which is headed by Tosfos as the Chachmei Ashkenaz. So the Ramban is going to tell us, what is Shmuel all about? What does he mean, Nat Bar Nat is mutter, and I can take this fish that was cooked in a flesh kapat and eat it with milchiks? He says the following. I have to admit to you, says the Ramban, that Tom Sheni is absolute Tom. It's Tom Gomer. It has the same status as Tom Rishon, and therefore the halach of Tom Kika Doraisa applies to Tom Sheni just as well as it does to Tom Rishon. However, what Shmuel is all about is Tom Shlishi. Okay? What does this mean, Tom Shlishi? The Tom of the Basar went into the Keli. Correct? That's Tom Rishon. What did I cook in this Keli? Right, 5 minutes after I cooked meat, I cooked fish. The Tom now in the fish is Tom Shani. Now I want to take that fish and cook it or eat it with milk. So the Tom Basar in the fish is already Tom Shani, which is Asur, but the fish is Parva, so that's not a problem. Okay, now it became, you know, a fish that's carrying a blia of basar. But that blia now has to go out into the cholov at a third level, which is called Tom Shlishi. Says the Ramban that Tom Sheni, although it's asur, is not to be equated with Tom Rishon. And the nafkamina is that Tom Sheni, in contradistinction to Tom Rishon, does not have the power to create a bona fide Tom Shlishi. In the language of the Ramban, Ein Koch Badogim, you should underline this if you have a pen, Ein Koch Badogim Litein Tom Bekutach. Why? The Havile Tom Shlishi means the Basar gives Tom into the utensil now into the Dogim, and the Dogim into the Kutach. Now Ramban asks himself the following question. What does the Dogim carry inside of it? Rabbo say the Dogim, help me out here. Tom Shani. Okay, Tom Shani, according to the Ramban, is awesome. It's a bona fide Tom. Torah recognizes that Tom Shani as a Tom. Oh. Says the Ramban, okay, the fish does not have the power to transfer its Tom to the Cholov, because that would be Tom Shlishi, but why can't the Cholov transfer its Tom into the fish? That's Tom Rishon. In other words, if these Dogim Sholom Bekara were cooked with milchiks, then the milk goes right into the fish. So you could argue that the fish doesn't have the power to carry its Tom Sheni of Basar into the Cholov and generate an Isra on the Cholov, make the Cholov into the Basar of Cholov. But Chach, at least you should be molded to me that the milk has the power to give its Tom Rishon into the fish. Now the fish has two Tom in it. It's got the Tom of Basar through the Kedeva, which we call Tom Sheni, which the Ramban validates as a Tom. It has the Tom Rishon of the Cholov going into the fish. Why shouldn't the fish become basar v'cholav? So again, if Shmuel is only interested in the cholav, that's okay. The cholav is fine because the cholav is only receiving a tam shlishi of basar. But that's not what Shmuel said. Shmuel said you can eat this fish together with the cholav. Meaning, take this kutach and add fish to it. Some people like kutach without fish, and some people like kutach with fish. Says Shmuel, gegezut dehet, add the fish into your kutach. The fish is carrying a tam sheni, and it cannot transfer a tam sheni of basar into the cholav. But the question is, this is Rabban's question on himself, or a self-imposed affliction here, and that is that the tam rishon of the cholav should go into the fish.
But it's not being cooked. It's being eaten together.
Well, the Gemara assumes that, as we'll soon see later, that we didn't read the next part of the Gemara, which is explicitly talking about cooking, that the heter of not bar not applies even to cooking. But be that as it may, that's a point we'll come back to. So Rabban says an unbelievable chiddush in order to answer this. And I don't know if we've ever seen this before. He says the following. Listen to this. He says, "V'afal gav the kutach nosin tam b'dogim mikomakom kevan she'ein habasar nosin tam b'cholav." In other words, the cholav cannot become basar b'cholav. That's already tam shlishi. Lefichach gam hadogim, which have within it a tam basar, lo nesru mishum basar b'cholav. This is like, you know, democracy. You know, if you don't give me your time, I'm not going to give you my time. You know, all's fair. You know, let's square off. So obviously, this Ramban has to be taken under advisement. It's like a mechanical, technical presentation. What's it all about? So brilliantly, again, he quotes a tshuva of Rabbi Kiveg.
Ramban?
No. Sorry. Here you have to press the return button. You know that, what's it called? You know that two lines with a half C around it, with a C around it. You know, what I'm talking about when you want to indicate a new paragraph.
Okay.
Yeah, this is probably something in Latin for it. But anyway, whatever it is, right? So now it's a new paragraph. It's Ad Kan is the Ramban. Now the Shechit Aschulin is quoting Rabbi Kiveg. Rabbi Kiveg says the following: that what is the nature of basar b'cholav? Basar b'cholav means that they each reciprocally give tam. I give tam to you, says the basar, and I give tam back to you, says the cholav. Together, they form an entity called basar b'cholav. But in this case, where the basar that was collected or absorbed into the dogim is not transferred over to the cholav, because that's tam shlishi, therefore the cholav itself doesn't have the ability to create an iser in the basar. It's an all or nothing proposition. Either the basar gives tam into the cholav, and the cholav reciprocally gives tam into the basar, or if one of the two fails, right, is incapable of giving its tam, then the other one, even though it does have the potential of giving tam, cannot create the iser of basar b'cholav.
This is what Rabbi Kiveger says?
This is Rabbi Kiveger's explanation in the Ramban.
How does he get that?
So this is based on the Sugyan Kuf Chesamid Beis, if I'm not mistaken. Again, I don't have the truth of the Ramban of Rabbi Kiveger in front of me. But take a look on Kuf Chesamid Beis. And the Gemara says over there, okay. It's about 10 lines down from the top. Kigon shenafal, this is basar, l'soch yoro sachas. Now, what happens in this case, again, this is a whole other sugya, I think we discussed this. I'm afraid that once we start this, we'll never get out of it, and I have an agenda for today to study the sugya, not bar not. But basically what happens is that the cholav, because it's a yororo sachas, it's heating over the fire, cannot be bolea the time of the meat.
because the Gemara has a principle of Ivy the Torid Livloa is Mivla Lo Bola. Lifla Mila Lo Boy, or the other way around, it goes in both directions. So the Gemara assumes that in this case, since the Cholav cannot be Bolea the Tom of the Basar can't be Bolea the Tom of the Chol as well. Okay, again, Rabosai.
Okay.
Let's just, if we can, let's just see if we can. Again, so where does Reb Kivegi get this from? The Ramban says that the whole principle of Shmuel, which is based on a Tam Shlishi, makes no sense. How could Shmuel say that this fish is parva, and do what you want with it, cook it with milk, dip it in milk, eat it with milk, whatever you want to do? Why shouldn't at least the Tam of the Cholav go into the fish? And the answer is, says the Ramban, this is already the Ramban, way before Kivega, that if the tam of the basar is not going into the chalav, then the chalav's tam doesn't go into the basar. Says Rabbi Kivega, that's the principle that underlies this Ramban, namely, that basar b'chalav is an all or nothing proposition. Both the basar has to give tam into the chalav and the chalav into the basar, and if that can't happen, the ein shneim nosnim tam zebazeh, then it's not basar b'chalav. Fine. Now, he quotes the Ramban. So now we're back to the Ramban. Uka'amar Shmuel did no saying tam bar no saying tam. Why is it that a tam sheni could not function as a conduit to transfer tam in the tam shlishi? The tam sheni says, Eino ke'ikar, it's not the same as the ikar itself. Lesar es taruvos, so meaning if this tam sheni gets mixed up in the taruvos, lo mashafal pisha asa torah tam ke'ikar, lesar taruvos kemoa. When do we say that the Torah says that tam kikar means that once you picked up the tam, you a heter was bolei tam, it has the ability to transfer that tam in a taroves, hani mili b'tam rishon. Tam rishon has the ability to transfer its tam into a tam sheni. Okay, so again, what happens is that the kli, right, the kli in which you cooked nevela, now has a status of tam rishon, right? The kli was bolea the tam of nevela, and on that the Torah says tam kiikar, meaning that tam could now be transferred over to something else to create a tam sheni situation. Aval tam sheni, let's say now you cook fish in this pot, dehu barnat meaning it's a secondary tam. Ein bo koach lesar es acherim dahainu not shlishi shalahem. So let's just review what we just learned in the Ramban. The Ramban says that although tam sheni is asur, but the exact status of tam kiikar is not, the exact equation to tam kiikar is not acceptable, is not active. Why? Because there are two halachas in Tam Kikar. One halacha of Tam Kikar recognizes the validity of the Tam. The other halacha of Tam Kikar recognizes the ability of that Tam to be transferred over to something else. So the Ramban says, here's the difference between Tam Rishon and Tam Sheni. Both Tam Rishon and Tam Sheni are recognized as valid Tam. However, the difference is that whereas the Torah says Tam Kikar and Tam Rishon, even as far as creating, as transferring its Iser to something else, the Tam to something else, that's called Tam Sheni. With regard to Tam Sheni, the Torah only says one thing, that Tam Sheni is Tam. But it doesn't say that the Tam Sheni can be transferred over to something else as Tam Shlish. Then the Ramban says, I'll prove to you that Tam Sheni is Tam Gomur, because again, that's the Yisodas of the Ramban. Notice, if I had Blackwood here and I wanted to summarize the Ramban, I would say the following. Aleph, Tam Sheni equals Tam Gomur. And Beth, Tam Sheni, Eino Yochel Les or Tam Shlishi. Those are the two principles of the Ramban. How does the Ramban know the first principle? The Ramban proves it from the halacha of Kalim, Kedera, Shedishal Babasolo Yavashal Bacholah. the indisho benot sein tam. So if you took a significant volume of meat and you cooked it in a pot, you are not allowed to cook milk in the same pot. And if the relationship between the meat that was cooked in the pot and the milk that's now being cooked in the pot is 1 to 59, which means nesinas tam, then the milk that you cook in this fleishika pot becomes awesome. So what do you see? Says the Ramban, you prove from that that Tam Sheni is a Tam. The E name, if you would argue that Tam Sheni lav Tamu him came, why should the Cholav be Asur from the Tam Basa that's Bolua Mikdera? The Tam Basa that goes into the Cholav is Tam Sheni. So why is this Cholav Asur when you cook it in a Fleshik Apat? The answer must be that Tam Sheni is considered Tam. El Al Korchach. We have to prove Tzarech Lomad Tam Sheni Tam Gomer Ulefichach Nesar HaChol. So far, so good. Now you have to absorb all this, and no pun intended, because otherwise you won't appreciate the second shita, and that is the shita of Tosfos.
Before we get there, Rebbe, can I just clarify one thing that you said? You said. Before that, the Rebbe, you know, Akiva Eger from learned that you can't, if it can't be polek the tam, then it also it can't be holei the tam. But I thought the whole idea was that when something, the reason it can't be bolea is because it can't do two things. So if it's being polek, it can't be bolea. But if you say that the fish here, let's say the fish sitting in the milk, can't be polate the tom of the baser,
right.
But there's no reason why it can't be bolea the tom of the
milk. But what we're saying is that baser b'cholov through cooking means that there's a mutual nesinas tom. So that if, let's say, for example, in the case that I gave you before, where meat fell into milk,
right,
and the milk is not able to be bolea the tam of basar, even though the basar is capable of being bolea the tam of cholov, there's no ma'akev, but nevertheless, it doesn't become basar b'cholov. It can only become basar b'cholov if mutually the basar gives tam of cholov and the cholov, and vice versa. If I could only have a one direct, you know, it's got to be what we call du-sutri. You know, there are streets where you can go in both directions. What's that called in English? Two-directional. But I'm sure there's another word for what? Two-way street. Two-way street. If it's a one-way street, it doesn't matter which way it's going. Either the bus is going to the cholov or vice versa, but it's only one way. That's not bus of a cholov. Bus of a cholov has to create a bishul in which both give time to the other. It's not bishul as far as the isur bus of a cholov if it's only one direction. I'm telling you, it's a pella. It's a new. This is something, you know. We've been learning this for months, and we never knew this. But now we know it. And wait, let me just say something else, Alan. And that's what I want you to get excited about. That without accepting this principle, says Rabbi Kivega, the Ramban just goes down the tubes. There's no way that you can understand and appreciate the Ramban unless you accept this mechanics that basar b'cholov that were cooked together must be a mutual transfer of tam. And if there's no mutual transfer of tam, there is no basar b'cholov in this taros. If you don't accept that, then the Ramban completely falls apart. Because again, what's the premise of the Ramban? The premise of the Ramban is that Shmuel is telling me that the basar, that's the tam basar, excuse me, that was nivla in the dugim, when that dugim is cooked with milk, does not become an asur. Why not? You'll tell me whether the basar can't give tam, that the dogim can't transfer the tam basar into the cholov because that would be tam shlishi. Fine, but at least as far as the relationship between the cholov and the dogim, right? Because the Ramban validates the tam sheni of the basar and the dogim. The cholov is now giving tam rishon into the dogim. So why don't the dogim become basar? And the answer is because when you cook this fish, which now represents, it's a substitute for the meat, together with the cholov, what's going to happen is that the cholov is going to give tam into the meat, but the meat is not giving tam into the cholov. And if the cholov is not receiving any tam, then there's no basar b'cholov even as far as the meat is concerned, because as we said before, it's got to be two-directional. It's an all-or-nothing proposition. Okay, let's just continue, all right. And we'll hold that questions off until we get a little bit more of a broad base. Oh. Now what we're looking at is the paragraph that starts V'ha on the bottom right, going on to the top of the second column. Oh. The question is the following. Even if I assume that, as the Rebbe Kiviger embellished the Ramban Shita, that the Nesinas Tam here is not going to create Basa B'chol. Why? Again, we can go over the whole thing 50 times, but you have it. That's only on a Deraisa level. Midrabanan, we don't need a Nesinas Tam from Basar into Cholav in order to prohibit the achila of basar and cholav. In other words, on a deraisa level, you need something called basar bicholav. But mirabanan, even basar im cholav is asur. Nafkamino gavitzone. Am I allowed to eat milk and meat, both of which are cold in the same mouthful? For sure not. That's also mirabanan. In fact, the rabbanan went even further. They said you can't even put meat and milk on the same table. You can't even drink milk after you ate meat. You have to wait 6 hours, let's say. Whatever it is. I mean, it's very sheepish. So that in the Ramban's frame of reference, okay, it doesn't bother me on a Doraisa level if I cook this fish that has a tam basa together with cholov, because I don't have basa with cholov Doraisa. But chash, at least you have to admit to me that what I have here is an Issur Rabbanan. Again, Shmuel is telling you, take the fish that was cooked in a fleshig pot and eat it with milchiks. So you're going to tell me, okay, it doesn't create bas mechov d'oraisa because, as we said before, tam sheni can't create tam shlishi. But who cares? To the extent to which these dogim have tam sheni in them, then they become fleshigs because tam sheni is recognized by the Ramban and upgraded to the status of tam. So you've got tam basar in the dogim, even if by eating those dogim together with cholav or cooking them together with cholav, I don't create bas v'chol d'oraisa, but you have to admit, it's no better than having meat and milk, sone v'tsone, which is also d'rabbanan. Says the Prima Gadim, and this is on the top left column, in his sefer called the Rosh Yosef, that Chazal, when they instituted the Issur d'rabbanan, even when there's no Nesinas Tam, for example, the case of Tzonein, that's only in a case where the meat and the milk, if they would have been cooked together, would create basa v'chalav. An amazing chiddush of the Prima Gadim. In this case, I'm going to say it over and over again because this Prima Gadim is what I call an einfallen. It's a brilliant chah. He says the following. What's unique about the case of Shmuel, of Dogim Shalom Bakara? He said, even if you cook these dogim with the cholav, they will not generate basa v'cholav. That's outside the purview of all the chumras, which we had top on. You know, we could lay them up one layer on top of the other, the Rabbanon, with regard to basa v'cholav. Because in all cases of basa v'cholav de Rabbanon, where the basa and the cholav are not being cooked together, and yet the Rabbanon asked it, nevertheless, what the Rabbanon were trying to do is be marchik us from basa b'chol d'oraisa, as if to say, well, today you're going to be eating the milchiks with the fleshiks. Sonein b'tsonein. What are you going to do tomorrow? You're not such a brilliant Talmud Chokhem. Tomorrow you're going to cook them together. And that will create a real basa b'chol d'oraisa. But in the case of Dagim, Shaul b'kara, you can stand on your head until doomsday, and there's no way that through cooking it would create basa b'chol. Why? Because the tam that the dogim has is called what? Tam sheni, and tam sheni could never create a tam shlishi. In this case, there's not even an Issur d'Rabban. A brilliant chab of the Rosh Yosef. So just to summarize everything we've done until now, the Ramban himself is very abstract. He gives us two principles. Number one, tam sheni is recognized by the Torah as tam. It's validated because otherwise you never can understand the halacha of basa shevishal b'kedera lo yivashal b'cholav. The tam that's going from the kedera into the cholav, the tam basa is only a tam sheni. But number two, he's going to say that although tam sheni is recognized and validated as a tam, it doesn't have the exact same status as a tam rishon. The nafkamina is that a tam rishon could generate a tam sheni, but a tam sheni cannot generate a tam shlishi.
And here we need the help of the Achronim. Number one, we need the help of Rabbi Kivega, because even if a Tam Sheni, in the case of the Dog Mishol Bakara, cannot transfer its Tam of Basar into the Cholov, but why can't the Cholov transfer its Tam into the Basar? That's a Tam Rishon. And question number two, what we have to ask is that even if we accept the Shmuel's, not bar not, hook, line, and sinker, but we still have to wonder on a Durabana level why there shouldn't be an Issa Durabana? Why is it better than Tzone and Bitzone? And for that, we need the pre-mukhtar. So that's where we're holding now. It's a case in which you have a Rishon, but the Rishon without the Achronim will lead us, you know, down a very dark path. We'll never be able to clarify. Okay. Now we're up to a different Chiddush of Rabbi Kivega, also in the same tshuva, in which Rabbi Kivega quotes a Tosus in Avodah Zarah. What does Tosa say in Avodah Zarah on Daf Samachem and Beis? That with regard to Basar B'cholov, there is halacha of Bittel B'shish. Now, you and I might ask, why not? Like, what's the chiddush? You had one drop of cholov in a large vat of Basar, and the ratio is 1 to 60, then it's mutter. That's called bittul b'shishin. Right? So what Tosa says, there's a chiddush here. Why is there a chiddush? Why shouldn't bittul apply? And the answer is because heter v'heter lo bottle. You remember, Rabosa, we talked about this at great length. This is a sugya in Nida. The Gemara wants to know, what if I sew one thread of linen in a large, large garment how do you say tzemer in English, of wool? And the answer is that it's also mishum kilayim. So the Gemara asks, well, why not say bittel? I mean, it's one little thread, and it's gigantic, you know, it's got 1,000 times the size. So the Gemara says, heter heter lo bottle. You know, it's two things, each of which is heter, they don't become bottle. And Tosa is assuming that principle should apply to basar b'cholov. And therefore, in basar b'cholov, there is no bittel. If there's no bittel, so why does the Mishnah say that basar b'cholov is only also been nesinas tam? Forget about nesinas tam. It should be also been mashu. There's no bittel. It's kind of like what we discussed at great length last week. Rabbi Yehuda's min b'mino lo bottle. So Tosus answers, because there's another principle called derech bishul asra Torah, that you can only create basar b'cholov if it's derech bishul, and derech bishul means that there's got to be an nesinas tam. So the halacha that basar b'cholov, when they're cooked together, only become also conditional on the fact that there's nesinas tam, that halacha is not based on bittul, has nothing to do with bittul, but rather has to do with the halacha, the condition of derech bishul asra Torah. So Rabbi Kivega is bothered by this Tosus. He says, "V'kasha, de'eno chinam, de'eno osim min haTorah, kevin d'lavi derech bishul mikomakom amayin u'nesim min rabbanon, kevin d'rabbanon gozru lechol basar b'cholov af bitzone." The Mishnah says that if a small drop of milk falls into a giant vat of meat, such that there's 1 to 60, then you're allowed to eat it. Why are you allowed to eat it? Isn't this at least chach basar b'cholov derabbanan? El al koch tzorch lomar de chazal lo achmir b'tzonin el kemu roy elitein tam zeh b'zal yedekish. That when did the rabbanan prohibit eating meat and milk together? That's only because if and when you would cook them together, you would create basar b'cholov. But if a very small drop of milk, gets mixed up in a large vat of large volume of meat, then even if you were to cook it together, it wouldn't become awesome because derech bishul asra Torah. So in other words, when Tosus says that if a small drop of milk falls onto meat, you're allowed to eat it, and Tosus says that even though there's no din of bittul in basar b'cholov because heter heter lo bottle, Tosus says, but still, derech bishul asra Torah, and bishul means it's got to be b'nesinas tam, I can grant Tosus every premise that he operates with except for one. What about the Issa d'Rabbanan? You've got meat and milk together, you're eating it? The answer is that eating meat and milk together was only prohibited by the Rabbanan because if you were to cook them together, it would be derech bishul asur Torah, and you would generate an Issa d'Oraisa basar b'cholov. But here, in this case where only a small, small drop of milk fell into a large volume of meat, even if you were to cook it together, it would still remain. Derech Bishlas V'Torah would be lacking in the precondition of the Isur Bas V'Chol, because the precondition of Bas V'Chol is that there got to be Nesinus Tam. So this piece of Rabbi Kveger does not add an enhancement of our understanding of the Ramban that we started with, but what it does is it supports the conclusion of the Prima Gadol. The Prima Gadol, if you recall, said that the only way we could understand the Ramban and justify Shmuel's sheet of Dogim Shal Bakara, that you're allowed to eat it with milk according to Ramban, is we assume that there's no Issur Darabanan. And why is there no Issur Darabanan? Because even if you were to cook it, there would be no possibility that a Tam Sheni could create a Tam Shlishi. Comes along, Rabbi Kveger says, and I have a support for this. Tosis in Avodah Zarah says that if a small drop of milk falls into meat, you're allowed to eat it. Why? Because it's known as seen as Tam. No, but what about the Issur Darabanan? The answer is, the Issur Darabanan is contingent on the following premise, that if you were to cook it together, you would create Basar B'chol of Doraisa. Alright. Now, Rabosai Ad Kan HaKof Alef. Now, what we're up to now, we're going to skip this piece here from the Grach al Shas, and we're going to look at number base at the bottom left column here of this first page. And now we have a second shita. This is the shita which I call of the Balei Ashkenaz, the Chachmei Ashkenaz, of Tosis and the Rosh. Now, if there was a historian here in the classroom, they'd get very upset about what I just said. Because the Rush, although he was Ashkenazi, he was almost a half Sephardi. You know, when I look about, I look for two personalities, greats, giants, in the history of Talmudic literature, of Gedol Yisrael, who were both Ashkenazi and Sephardi at the same time, I look at two people. I look at the Rush, and I look at the Arizal. And if you have any doubts, just go up to Tzfat and you'll see that you can put one leg in his Ashkenazi shul and the other leg into his Sephardi shul. There was another person like that who was the Shita Mekubetzes. You heard of the Shita Mekubetzes? His name is Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi. But he was a Knapper Ashkenazi, meaning he was born an Ashkenazi, but he was really a Sephardi, or at least a combination thereof. Of course, according to Rav Avad Yosef, there is no such thing as a combination. You can only be a Sephardi. You know? But anyway, he says that an Ashkenazi can become a Sephardi, but not the other way around. Okay, you'll read this tshuvas. In any event, Rabbi Kiva Eger tells us that there's another shita, that the story of Shmuel doesn't end with the Ramban. And this Tosus is tucked away in Masechet Zvachim. Of course, all of us here in the room know every single Tosin Zvachim, so we didn't need Rabbi Kiveger, right? What does Tosin say in Masechet Zvachim? This is Misha Nichnas Ador, or what? What do you say?
Probably.
It must be Lubavitch, no? The Mitzvah Mibil. All right. I'm not sure that there's a din of Misha Nichnas Ador in Ador Aleph, but okay, that's a lovely Shesugya. So what does Tosus say in Masechta? What do you say?
They're machmir.
Yeah. Let's see. Why not? Gans Yer Freilich, right? So what does Tosus say in Masechta Zvachim? Oh. So now, for this we need a little bit of background. And I'm sure you all know what I'm about to say. But I have to say for myself. And that is, what happens in Masechta Zvachim is we have a problem. In the Klei Migdash, they used Kalim for Kachim, correct? And those Kalim, after a period of time, let's say, for example, we know that a Karban Chatos or Karban Oshim can only be eaten for one day, right? Meaning just the Yom until Shkia. Or a Karban Shlomo could be eaten for 2 days and one night. So it's the day, the night, and the following day. But ultimately, there's something called Nosar. Now, if you cook Shlomim, for example, and it's going to apply to other Kachim as well, in a pot, you've got a serious problem here if you want to use the same pot for shlomim later on, or even for shlomim. Okay, we're not going to cook. Why? Because within the pot, the shlomim themselves should become nosar. And it's more or less like a pot that was bolea tam nevela, and now if you cook in it, the tam nevela goes out. So the Gemara says over there, shlomim shenisbashlu ha'idna, now b'kdeira shebishlu b'shlom esmo. So today you're going to cook in the same pot, shlomim in the same pot, that yesterday you cooked shlomim, lo mitzere mishum nosar. Why not? So the Gemara doesn't really spell out why not, and that's where Tosfos and Zvachim comes up with a brilliant idea. Our Shmuel, Kema Davi not bar not. Why is it not bar not? Because the taste of the shlomim went into the kli, and from the kli it goes into what? Into the shlomim that you're cooking now. Oh, says Tosfos, Yesod ha-heter d'nat barnat, hu d'tam sheni lav tam gomeru. Does that sound familiar to you? Absolutely not. This is the exact opposite of what we saw in the Ramban. The Ramban keeps saying that the Torah doesn't validate tam sheni. I'm sorry, that the Torah validates tam sheni, correct? Just that tam sheni can't aser b'tam shlishi. But Tom Shani is Tom. Tosfos says, name. Tom Shani is not a Tom Gomer. And therefore, Tosfos says, there won't be an Iser Nosar that's Chal on the Shlomen that you now cook in this pot that has Nosar in it. And this makes no sense, says Rabbi Kivega, according to the Ramban. According to the Ramban, Tom Shlishi is Mutter, but Tom Shani is Osur. And therefore, the Ramban is not going to be able to embrace the shita of Tosfos that we can justify cooking shlomim in the same pot that we cooked shlomim yesterday by saying that it's no same tam bar no same tam, because that's a case of tam sheni. The Ramban is hard pressed; he's going to have to come up for another answer to Tosfos' kasha. That's what Rabbi Kivega points out. He says, "Vaday diyochel iser nosar al tam sheni," and therefore, Rabbi Kivega wants to prove from the poskim. Okay, this is in Hilchas Pesach. If you ever need a summary of the poskim on any particular issue in Orach Chaim, you look into the Shar Hatziyun. Okay, and the Chofetz Chaim in the Shar HaTziyun in Simon Tov Mem Zayin writes in the name of many poskim, Lahatir bibishlu kodem haPesach b'kdeiro shel chametz mishum nat bar nat. Why? Because Tam Sheni is not a Tam. So what happened over here? What I do is, I take chametz, I cook it in a pot today on Rosh Chodesh Adar, right, the last day in Shvat. Now I cook potatoes in the same pot. Now I clean out the chametz, and now I cook potatoes in that pot. Can I freeze these potatoes until Pesach and eat them on Pesach? Okay. So again, I'm not saying halacha lemaisa, but in pure halachic terms, the answer is yes. These potatoes are Pesach. I just cook chametz in the same pot. The answer is that the tam chametz goes into the kedera. That's tam rishon. From the kedera into the potatoes. And that's called tam sheni. And tam sheni is ain't no tam. Because all these poskim are relying not on the Ramban shita, but on the shita of Tosfos and Zvachim, that tam sheni is not awesome. Again, you have to add one stipulation. This happened before Pesach. The laws of Tarovas changed drastically with the inception of the Chag, because then Chometz is also Mamashahu, something which would not qualify as Tam in all of our discussions. But if it's Erev Pesach, and therefore Chometz is not also Mamashahu, and when I say Erev Pesach, I mean before Pesach, then chametz can only be also been seen as tam, and here in this case, it's a tam sheni. Now, The question that we want to ask is, where does Tosis get this from? A chutzpah of Tosis to say that Tam Sheni is Eino Tam, where does he know it from? And the answer is, if you read Tosis carefully, he knows it from our Shmuel, because Tosis says not bar not. But that's got to be our Shmuel. There is no other not bar not. This is very difficult. Because Shmuel's not bar not is Tam Shlishi. Tosis wants to derive from Shmuel the conclusion that Tam Sheni is mutter. That I can take shlomim, cook it in a pot, the tam becomes nosar. Now I can cook shlomim in that same pot because it's only tam sheni and there's no iser nosar. And the poskim, therefore, based on this Tosis, assume I can cook chametz in a pot. Now I can cook potatoes in the pot, and I can eat the potatoes on Pesach because it's Tam Sheni. What does that have to do with Shmuel? Shmuel is talking about Tam Shlishi. I took Iser and I cooked it in the pot. Now I cook fish in the pot. The meat of Iser that's Balua and the fish is a Tam Sheni. Now if I want to add Milchix into my ingredients, I have a Tam Shlishi. That's what Shmuel was batting about. Omnom in the second paragraph, Tzorich Iyun. How could Tosis make this jump and the analogy between Shmuel of Nat Bar Nat in the case of Dogin and the Sugya of Shlomim in Kedera? Shlomim in Kedera is Tam Sheni. Who says, based on Shmuel, that Tam Sheni is not a Tam of Isur, and therefore there's no chalos shame, Isur, no sar? That's not relevant, that's not derivable from Shmuel. Shmuel is talking about a case where the pot is giving tam not into the chalov. He didn't cook chalov in this pot. That would be a serious problem if he cooked meat and then cooked chalov, right? Kedeir shabishal ba basal yivashal ba chalov. But rather, he cooked dogim in the pot. And the dogim now is the tam sheni. And now when he wants to cook the dogim with the chalov, that's tam shlishi. So how could Tosfos equate the case of Shmuel with the sugya of what? Of shlomim. Where there it's a case of tam Shani. Okay, Rabosis, if you could please note that we're up to the paragraph that starts Vira Isi, because I see this as a wonderful introduction to the sugya of Nat Bar Nat. And believe me, we'll try to see, I don't know if we'll finish, but come close to at least to make more progress on this sugya as we go through this on it.
We learned before that the reason that something can't be pole is because it's busy being pole at the time, or vice versa,
right,
the other way around. But here he's saying it has nothing to do with it. If it can't be pole, then it can't be pole. Why can't it be pole since it's not being pole?
Yeah, we're not saying it can't be pole, but we're saying that it can't create possible code.
Well, once it's pole, then it could become possible.
No, it can only become possible chol if both are bolei. If the chol is bolei, the bus is bolei.